Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great.
And we continue our look at some of the cultural highlights of this late winter, early spring season. Today we're talking theater on Broadway and off. I'm joined for this by David Cote of Time Out New York and Joshua Bloodworth of Dominion of New York. Welcome back, David, and welcome to WNYC, Joshua.
Thanks, Brian.
Let's start with the really big shows on Broadway, where you have the usual mix of revivals and new plays. Is Book of Mormon still reigning supreme, David?
Well, I think the news this week was that they basically topped the heap of the box office draws, which is kind of impressive since it's not as big a theater as others, but their top ticket price is this kind of staggering $477. That's the top sort of premium ticket price for, I guess, businessmen who can't plan ahead. It's doing incredible business. It's still the top.
And Joshua, I guess the fact that one of the Republican front runners is a Mormon makes for an interesting tie-in. You don't know if Mitt Romney has seen the musical, do you?
I don't know if he's seen the musical, but it'd be interesting the next time he's in New York fundraising to see if he stops by.
But on to the new, Andrew Lloyd Webber has two musicals returning.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready, David, for another Evita and Jesus Christ Superstar?
I'm willing to try it. I mean, I'm a Sondheim man myself. I don't really have a great time sitting at Andrew Lloyd Webber's shows. I mean, the music itself to me feels very, it's kind of like musical embalming as opposed to Sondheim, where, you know, I feel like, you know, my mind is engaged, my heart is engaged. But, you know, these are two of his biggest hits, you know, so I'm totally willing to. And I've heard the production of Jesus Christ Superstar, which is directed by Des McAnuff, is a terrific new look at this work. So, yeah, I'm game.
And listeners, you want to give us any reviews or previews of Broadway? Obviously, you can't give us a preview of something that you haven't seen, but maybe something that you're looking forward to or something that you've seen and want to recommend on Broadway or off on the New York stage, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. As we speak with David Cote of Time Out New York and Joshua Bloodworth of Dominion of New York, 212-433-9692. This seems unusual for Broadway. Magic Bird, about the basketball rivalry between the two 80s superstar players, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. The playwright says this is about society, class, and race, spanning their careers from 1979 to 1992. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think this is one of those plays that has a chance to actually expand who actually comes to Broadway. We usually don't think of going to Broadway to see sports personalities being portrayed, and I think that this will do well with some of the people who traditionally don't see themselves as Broadway goers.
Are there other examples of sports stories being portrayed on Broadway? David, go ahead.
The same creative team a couple seasons ago brought us Lombardi. You know, so they had Vince Lombardi, the sort of life and work of that coach in a play that was, you know, it ran for, I don't know how well it did financially, but it ran for a good year, I think, or close to a year. And it was a really successful melding of, you know, sports hagiography and just good old-fashioned, you know, comedy drama. So it was, it's the same playwright, Eric Simonson, and director, so they're trying it again.
And another revival in early April, we'll see another production of Streetcar Named Desire. This with an all-black cast. That was successful with the revival of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, David, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I believe same producer, and it's an interesting, I mean, John Lahr and The New Yorker sort of grumbled about, you know, non-traditional casting of Tennessee Williams plays. But Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, I thought it totally worked. There was a new sort of cadence to language. It had integrity. I thought it was an interesting, it was a totally valid production.
Joshua, what would you look for in this version of Streetcar?
I'd actually look to see if Blair Underwood, who has often tried to come across as a real leading man, can carry that role, the complexities and nuances in the role. But I'm actually looking forward to it as well, because I think Tennessee Williams is one of my favorite playwrights, and when you do non-traditional casting, you're able to see that his themes really are not stuck in one time, place, or even group.
Let's see what some of our listeners are recommending. Our lines are full. Vincent in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi. Hello. Good afternoon. A couple of things I recommend was Sister Act, which I thought was really good, lots of fun. And the other one was Stick Fly. I saw that as well. That was really good. The whole cast was really great. So it was really those two things I recommend. And the next one I would like to see is Porgy and Bess.
Thank you very much. And we spoke on the show in the fall, Joshua, about the uptick in plays featuring black casts. Stick Fly is one of them. Mountaintop. We've talked about several already here that are coming. Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And I assume that there will be some African-American representation in Magic Bird. Have producers come to understand that there's a broader audience out there than they used to think?
I think they have. I think that as you've had over the last 30, 40 years, the black middle class increasing and people coming to New York from all walks of life and wanting to see themselves portrayed on Broadway, they are seeing this. But in a certain way, we might be seeing a repeat of the 1920s where Broadway was known for having lots of large ensemble African-American plays.
Keith on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Keith.
Hello. I was going to recommend Cynthia Nixon and Wit, but I would agree with the last caller. I also saw Stick Fly and thought that that was an outstanding production.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very good.
I would like to throw in too that it is great to see more diversity on Broadway. You look at the statistics that come out like every year about who's going to see Broadway shows, and you see that it's a majority of people of white audiences or tourists. But it's interesting to see shows that are also kind of challenging our assumptions about race, especially these days. Like Stick Fly, is it about race or is it about class? It depends on how you look at it. But it's having discussions about race and class, but are very much in the present day. And so is a play like Clyburn Park, which is coming to Broadway this spring as well.
Right. I saw Stick Fly and I really liked it, and it was about race and class. And what was interesting to me also was that the audience was, on the day that I was there, I would say about 80% black, 20% white, which is a very interesting mix for a theatrical audience and very unusual. So I think even for those in the theater, it created a kind of interaction, even if you didn't speak to your neighbor, that maybe you were aware of on some level and made you look and listen and think in a different way.
When I saw Stick Fly, I would say that my audience was closer to 50-50, uh-huh, which I thought was amazing, because I think if you look at film, a lot of the films that are considered African-American would love to have that type of reach. So that Broadway is actually bringing together these groups of people, I think, is one of the great things about it.
And just to throw in something else, that play, what Lydia R. Diamond's doing with that play is really kind of impressive in terms of range. You have, a lot of academic speak in it, for humorous effect and also for, sort of incisive effect, but you also have a lot of just slangy sort of casual talk as well. So the range of types of discourse in it is really broad and impressive.
That's a really good point. By the way, our last caller mentioned Cynthia Nixon in Wit, so I just want to mention again, in case people are interested, that she and other cast members from Wit will be here at WNYC in the green space for a conversation hosted by Amy Eddings. That's going to take place on February 16th, and you can get tickets at wnyc.org/thegreenspace since it came up. Joshua, before we leave Broadway, I know there's a new musical you're looking forward to, Ghost, based on the movie.
Yeah, no, I'm actually looking forward to that a lot. I remember when the movie first came out, and it's in a lot of ways such a wholesome love story, even though there are some darker aspects. And it'll be interesting to see how the play translates that somber mood but ultimately uplifting love story to the stage.
Elizabeth in Huntington, what have you been seeing? Elizabeth?
All right, yes, I'm here.
Hi. Did you want to recommend something?
Anything Goes. Philip Seymour Hoffman coming to Broadway in Death of a Salesman. I'd see him in anything. The Irish Repertory Theater is coming with a Eugene O'Neill play. And I think War Horses were overrated. I enjoyed it, but it didn't blow me away. I think Cole Porter, in as represented as Anything Goes, is probably the best thing right now. Anything Sondheim does. And don't forget, Death of a Salesman with Philip Seymour Hoffman. That's going to be great.
Thank you. I hope it's as good as your expectations. And here we are in 2012, David, talking about Anything Goes and Death of a Salesman.
Yeah, well, you know, those are kind of time-tested vehicles. I mean, I'm all for revivals if they're well done, as long as we have plenty of new work as well. I mean, you don't want to have you look at from season to season, there aren't musical revivals don't really outnumber new work. So it's not like we're just sort of wallowing in nostalgia.
That's good. Off-Broadway, there are new plays and revivals and at least one new theater, the Signature Theater Company, which has a new Frank Gehry design space. They've got two plays up now, Blood Knot by Atul Fugard and Hurt Village by Katori Hall, who wrote Mountaintop. They usually focus on revivals of one playwright's work, a season. David, do you know if that's changed now with the new space?
Well, yeah, they're sort of tripling their output now. I mean, it's kind of incredible what the Signature Center represents. It's like the biggest off-Broadway kind of institutional explosion in a long time. I mean, there was New World Stages on 50th Street, which opened in 2005 or so, but that was more like a rental space. This is like suddenly the Signature is rivaling the Public Theater and Lincoln Center Theater as a major off-Broadway institution, and it's just amazing what the commitment that they're making to living playwrights. It's great.
And also off-Broadway, caught my eye that Sleeping Demon is coming, Joshua, the third play in John Patrick Shanley's trilogy that started with Doubt. He's been a guest on the show to talk about that series. And the main character in this one is a Bronx borough president. So from the church to the military to the local political arena.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fascinating play because he has a subtlety in his writing that actually brings out a lot of issues and makes you think about them. And this being an election year, I think any play that deals with politics will do very well. And then you add on to that currently in our political discourse, we're talking about religion and the state and the separation. I think this play is actually poised to do very, very well here.
Also, talk about a revival of something old. I see that the Iliad is having a stage production at the New York Theater Workshop, relevant to this program, because we're going to be launching a series of conversations about whether war is inevitable. But do either of you know why the change in article? It is called An Iliad instead of The Iliad. David, do you know about this production?
I know that it was adapted by Dennis O'Hare, who's one of the best actors in New York theater, and I'm sorry if I'm getting this a little wrong, but I believe that he and Steven Spinella, another terrific actor from Angels in America and many other shows, they're alternating the performance every night. So it's like a one-man version of the Iliad. And I guess that the change of the article there from the to Anne is simply to acknowledge that this is a subjective view of a huge event, of a war. It's not definitive. Maybe there's a sort of hint of relativism there. I don't know. But they're both terrific actors, and I can't wait to see what they do with it.
We're running out of time. We have I have a list in front of me of some of the other things that you mentioned before you came on that you're either happy about that's already up or looking forward to. Joshua, your list includes Sleeping Demon, which we talked about, The Best Man, Black Angels Take Over Tuskegee, How I Learned to Drive, and we talked about Ghost. Want to mention any one of the others that we didn't get to?
I think The Best Man. Gore Vidal is one of our premier historians and political writers, and his political fiction is really incisive. And even though the play takes place originally, I believe, in the 1940s, 50s, or 60s, depending on if you're talking about the play or the movie, I think given that it's an election year and you look at the cast from Candace Bergen to Donna Hanover, you have people who either in their acting lives or in their real lives have been involved with politics. So I think it will be a fascinating production.
15 seconds, David Cody. You pick Carrie, off-Broadway revival of a notorious 1988 flop.
Right. Well, the word on the street is that they're doing this. They're not doing it as sort of a kitschy, campy revival. They're trying to get it right this time because it was just such a resounding flop 20 or so years ago. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. But I also want to see Galileo, F. Murray Abraham at Classic Stage Company, and the Bertolt Brecht play. I mean, talk about. I mean, Joshua mentioned religion and politics earlier. That play is all about, you know, theocracy and science.
A lot to choose from on the New York stage, and a good review and preview from David Cody and Joshua Bloodworth. Great job, guys. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.